The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Purim tells us of the victory between Mordechai and Esther and Haman. Mordechai and Esther, the Gemara tells us, the Chazal, were very, very great people. For example, the Medrash states, and the Pasuk, Ish Yehudi, Oy Mishushan Abira, that there was a Jew, Ish Yehudi, Shushan, and his name was Mordechai. The Medrash elaborates there, since he is called an Ish, the Torah also refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as an Ish. Leimaloch, to teach you, Shokol Hoye Ki Moshe Rabbeinu B'deire. Mordechai was equal in stature and greatness like Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. Just like Moshe stood up against any invasion, the secrecy of Klal Yisrael, so did Mordechai. Also, Esther was of tremendous greatness. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah that there were 7 prophetesses that would rise up in Israel. One of these would be Esther. But besides these facts, which tell us the greatness of Mordechai and Esther, we see that they both possessed another quality. And this was the quality of kingship. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah what does it mean Ish Yemini that Mordechai came from the tribe of Binyamin. And where? From the family of Shaul HaMelech, of King Saul. Esther, who was Bas Dodo, was related to Mordechai, also came from this family. The Gemara relates that it is for this reason that when she was taken to the house of Ahasuerus, to his palace, Mordechai commanded her not to relate which family she came from. It would seem that it would be to his benefit that she should tell Ahasuerus that she's from a Jewish family. Then Ahasuerus would send her away. He was a great anti-Semite. He was involved in the conspiracy with Haman to kill all of the Jews. But he was afraid that if they would find out that she came from Shaul HaMelech, from King Saul, and that she was royalty, then Ahasuerus certainly would retain her. Therefore it says, Ein Esther Magades, Magedes, Es Amo. Esther, Es Mishpachta, Esther would not tell where she came from. Also we see that at the end of the Megillah states that Mordechai Hoya Mishne LeMelech, he became the viceroy to Ahasuerus. And Achashverosh was a mighty king. The Gemara relates that there were three kings that were to rule the entire world. One of these was Achashverosh. Shleisha Malchu B'Kippur. Three would rule the entire globe. Nebuchadnezzar, Achav, and Achashverosh. This, that the Megillah relates, that he ruled over 147 Medinais, 147 provinces. The Gemara says this was Misefei Lematsefei, from one end of the world to the other. And for a king to rule over the entire world, this is a very great schus. When we see a great king, we're obligated to make a brocha, because this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted permission for that Boser V'Dom, for that flesh and blood, to rule. And to rule an entire world. This is something very special. The Medrash relates that when Esther was pleading for mercy by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she would be freed from this great sorrow, having to be a wife to Achashverosh, she referred to him as a kelev, as a dog. Later on, she retracted her statement. She felt that she had sinned, so she referred to him as a lion, as a vicious lion. And the Maral explains in his Akdoma, because even though he was a very evil person, he was willing to sell the entire nation of Israel to Harigo, to death, but still, having been granted the right to rule the entire world, we see that he had a special skus, a special merit. And this is something that we have to respect. Therefore, she retracted her statement of referring to him as a kelev, as a dog, and called him a vicious lion. That was more befitting for him, because the lion also is the king of all of the beasts. The fact that Esther was to become his queen, this means that she also ruled the world. So we see that both Esther and Mordechai had this quality of malchus, of kingship, of royalty. And this was recognized by their ancestor Yosef. When Binyamin came down to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, after Yosef was lost in Egypt for so many years, Yosef made a banquet for all of the brothers. The Torah relates that he gave gifts to all of the brothers. He gave them all garments. But when it came to Binyamin, which was his brother both from his father's side and his mother's side, Yosef and Binyamin were the two sons of Rochel. Yaakov Avinu gave birth to 12 sons. He had four wives. Rochel gave birth to two of these sons, Yosef and Binyamin. So he gave to Binyamin 5 suits of clothing, the Gemara tells us. Why did he do this? The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, Remez Ramaz Lei Sheosi Ben Lotzeis Mimenu Sheyetze Velifnei HaMelech Bechamisha Levushe Malchus. He was telling Binyamin that you'll have seed that will go out in front of the people in five royal garments. Shenemar umotcha yotzo belavush malchus. Tchelis. The end of the Megillah, when Mordechai was made into the viceroy, states that Mordechai went out into the public with five garments of royalty. Mordechai was to come from Binyamin. So this Yosef was indicating to his brother. So this power of Malchus, of kingship, Yosef recognized. And it goes even deeper than that. Yosef himself was a king. As we see that Yosef became king in Egypt. And the kingship that Yosef had was also indicated to him by a royal garment, which was given to him by his father, Yaakov. You know the story that Yaakov gave to Yosef at Tzomis Pasim, a coat of many colors. And this caused jealousy by the brothers. There came from here all kinds of troubles. What was the jealousy? So the rabbis teach us that Yaakov had seen in Yosef great qualities of kingship. And he was grooming Yosef to be the king. And the brothers held that Yehuda should be the king. And as the Torah later states, Lo Yosef Shevet mi Yehuda, that kingship to Israel shall come through Yehuda. David HaMelech was the seed of Yehuda. So this caused a great clash, because they felt that Yosef was coming to steal the royalty from Yehuda. And both were true. Yehuda became a king, and Yosef became a king. And this great power of kingship, Yaakov recognized in Yosef. And he indicated this by giving him a garment of royalty. Yosef later was to recognize this in Binyamin, his brother. And it would manifest itself in later generations. First through King Shaul, who was the first king of Israel, who came from Binyamin. And then through Mordechai. And he also indicated this by giving these royal garments to Binyamin. And the Medrash brings that there were many similarities between Mordechai and between Yosef. Yosef became a viceroy to Pharaoh. Mordechai became a viceroy to Ahasuerus. Yosef became a king not in Eretz Yisrael, not in Yerushalayim, like David HaMelech was to become. But Yosef became a king in Egypt. And Mordechai was to become a king in Shushan HaBira. Yosef was to rule the exile. And so was Mordechai. And there's a reason for this. They both were the children of Rachel. Yosef and Binyamin, these were her two sons. And we find that Rachel had the special power of holding the children together. She was called the Akeres Abayis, foundation of the house. And when she died, and she was a short distance from the city, she was buried al aderech, on the roadside. Anyone who visits Eretz Yisrael and visits Kfuras Rachel knows that it's not in the city, It's on the road. And the children had a great complaint against their father Yaakov. Why did you take her to Moris Machpelah, to the cave of Machpelah in Hebron, where Abraham is buried, and Yitzchok, Sora, Rivka, and Leah? Why was she to be the only one buried in the on the road? Yaakov said it was not because of his choosing. So commanded HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there would be a time when the children will go into Golus. They will go into exile. And as they are dispersed down the roadside, they will pass Kfuras Rachel, the burial place of Rachel. And Rachel being the mother, the mainstay of the house, she will be nispalo for them. And she will plead by HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously until they return to Eretz Yisrael. So we see the power that will hold the children when they go into Golus. This great spiritual power comes from Rachel. If not for Rachel, then when the children would be exiled, they would, chas v'sholom, be lost in the exile. She is the power, the magnet that will bring them all back together. And we found that this was true with her sons. Yosef ruled the exile. He went into Egypt. And there he remained in perfect righteousness. Even though he went through every gamut of test and temptation. He was persecuted, he was a slave, he was convicted of false criminal charges, he was in the dungeon, he rose to the palace of Pharaoh in unbelievable wealth. And still, when Yaakov came down, he said, "This is the same Yosef that learned Torah in my house in Eretz Yisrael." And not only that, but his own children, Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruven, Rishim, and Yuli. Ephraim and Manasseh that were brought up in Egypt, Yaakov said they are like Reuben and Shimon. Just as Reuben and Shimon that were brought up in Eretz Yisrael in my house, under my supervision, with my Torah, and Ephraim and Manasseh are as great as them. We speak of people living without proper Torah facilities, proper educational facilities, proper environment. Couldn't have been worse environment than Egypt, than the palace of Paran. But Yosef had this power of being the seed from the seed of Rachel to hold the Golus together, that in the furthest most parts that Israel will be exiled to, he will guard their kedusha, their sacredness. And this was his power of kingship. And we find the same with Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai became this great individual, not in Yerushalayim, but in Shushan HaBira. Esther prophesied and the Megillah relates Batilbash Bigdei Malchus, she put on her garments of royalty Lofsho Ruach HaKodesh, that she rose to great heights of spirit in the palace of Ahasuerus, in the palace of a mighty and vicious and wicked king, where she was a prisoner to him. And there they acquired their greatness. So these were the similarities of the qualities of kingship that we see between Mordechai and Esther and Yosef. And Yaakov Avinu, he recognized this. And he gave his coat of many colors to Yosef. Yosef would be a king over Israel in this vein. And Yosef recognized this in Binyamin. And the Gemara relates here, he gave 5 garments to Binyamin, Remes Ramas Lei, to indicate to him that you'll have Osi Ben Lotzeis Mimenu, a son will come out from you that also will wear these 5 garments of royalty. So we see very clearly here that Mordechai and Esther, they were kings and queens of the greatest lineage. This is not merely coincidental, though. That as it happened, they happened to come from the household of Shaul and so forth, like we related. This is not mere coincidence. But it had to be this way. And why is that? The adversary of the Purim story is Haman. Haman, the Megillah tells us, is Haman or Agogi. He came from Agog. He was a descendant of Agog, who was the king of Amalek. Amalek occupies a special place in the Torah. Besides being the grandson of Esav, brother of Yaakov, the Torah gives a particular command in regards to Amalek that it gives to no other nation. That is, Mochei Timche as Zecher Amalek. You are commanded to destroy and eradicate every remembrance of Amalek. Not only all of the men and all of the women and all of the children, but as Rashi says in the Chumash, Mishor v'yatzer, from the sheep to the goats to all of the animals, in order that no one shall ever say this belonged to Amalek and his name will be remembered, and to no other nation, that Kodesh Baruch Hu command us or so instruct us to do so. And for what purpose? For what reason? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Milchomo im Amalek dor etor. I shall wage war with Amalek in every generation. Yod al Kesko, my throne is not complete, and my name is not complete. As long as Amalek is in this world. So here, when it comes to Purim, in order to gain this victory, Mordechai and Esther had to destroy Amalek. The Gemara tells us in the Masechet Sanhedrin, and the Chof on the base, Shleis mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael b'kenisosin la'oretz. When Israel went into Eretz Yisrael from Egypt, and when again we will return to Eretz Yisrael, when the Mashiach will come, we are commanded in 3 particular mitzvahs. Lahamid lohem melech, to make for ourselves a king. Lahachriz zarei shel Amalek, to destroy the seed of Amalek, the Livnos Lehem Beis HaBachira, and to build the Beis HaMikdosh. How do I know which mitzvah comes first? The Gemara says, first first comes the mitzvah of making for yourselves a king, then the mitzvah to destroy Amalek, and then the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see? To destroy Amalek, Klal Yisrael must have a king. It will take the power of Malchus Yisrael, of royalty in Israel, to destroy Amalek. Without that power, this will not be possible. This is why it was necessary for Mordechai and Esther to be kings in order to be victorious over Amalek. What is the explanation of this? What was the great sin that Amalek committed to be given such a destiny? Torah states that when Israel went out of Egypt, they went out Biyad Ramon. Kodesh Baruch Hu took them out with a high and mighty hand, with great miracles, with great plagues, with a strong arm and outstretched, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And the whole world saw this. Torah tells us when he split the Red Sea, all the waters in the world were split. Shomul Amin Yirgozun Chilocha Joishve Peloshes. The nations heard this and they trembled. A fear took hold of the Philistines. The whole world trembled before Israel. Then the Torah tells us immediately after, right at in Parshas Bishalach, Vayovei Amalek. Amalek came to make war with Israel. Why was it that they didn't tremble? That they didn't fear? Vayovei Elokim. They did not fear Hashem. They denied what took place. They opposed what took place. They were the essence of kfira, of denial and atheism. And not only did they oppose this for themselves, did they deny this for themselves, but from here came a piercing, a recognition to the entire world, because the Chazal tell us Moshe Lamaha Devedoina, what is this similar to? You have a steaming hot pool of water, no one will go near it. If one fool will go and jump in, even though he becomes scalded, this opens the gates for others to follow. When Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt, no one would have gone near them. No one would have started with them or would have touched them or harmed them. The fear was too great. But Amalek came and they made the pirzah, they made the break in the wall. Even though they were scalded, the door was open for others to follow. So not only did they deny the Gvuras Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, they created and established the denial of the Gvuras Hashem in the world forever. This was the power of Amalek. And Bilam, in his prophecy, said, Reishis Goyim Amalek. The source of the nations is Amalek. Have Oved Adi Ad, and there's end, there's complete destruction. Gemara Menoches, the Kufyud relates
that when other nations come to serve idolatry, even though this is the cardinal sin of the Torah, but still, somewhere in their minds, they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elokei Elokim. They relate to the Almighty as the God of all gods. They believe in other powers. They believe in independent powers. They believe in the sun, or in fire, or in the rain. But they still have, deep down in them, that there's also a supreme power over all of these other powers. And this is the Almighty. So if there is still that thread which links them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so when the day of truth arrives, there is still the possibility for these other nations to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So their ultimate is not destruction. But by Amalek, there is complete denial. Velo yore Elokim, they did not have any fear for Hashem. Complete denial of his existence.
Excuse me. Will the driver who stopped in my driveway please come and move his car? Or is it? It's a Muslim, it's a white Muslim. What is the age? I think it's short trip.
All right. I think they're coming.
I'm sorry about this.
Okay.
Excuse us. Lady's coming now.
Let's go.
Yes.
Amalek he represents complete denial of Hashem. Complete atheism. And therefore, there can be no ultimate for him whatsoever. By Amalek, everything is mere coincidence. If something happens in the world, it's coincidental. It's a scientific phenomenon. It's just circumstances. The Torah in several places uses the word mikro by Amalek, asher korcho baderech, which means not a premeditated happening. By Haman it uses the same word. When Haman received his defeat, when Ahasuerus commanded him that he must go and lead Mordechai through the streets. So it states that he went and he told his kol asher korohu. He went and told his wife everything that happened to him. He uses the word mikro. Mikro in the Torah always refers to something which is not definite. Not a definite happening, but a mere coincidental happening. In last week's Parsha, 2 weeks ago, Parsha's Vayikra. So there the Torah says, Vayikra el Moshe, Yikra Hashem el Moshe. It's written with an Aleph. Chazal say, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe, or to the Nevi'im, the prophets of Israel, it was with the word Vayikra, which means a definite, premeditated calling. A definite act with intent, by Yikro with an Aleph. But when he appears to Bilam, who represents the prophets of the Goyim, there he uses the word by Yokor, or by Yikro with a Hey, which means Mikro Koro, not something with definite intent, but merely coincidental. Amalek was the power that anything that happens in the world is not related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It can be great miracles. It's coincidental. It can be a phenomenon. It's a similarity. And therefore, when Haman wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, he threw a gerah. He threw a lottery. The lottery is just something of coincidence. Something that is not premeditated. In order to find a day that would be a good day and successfully. This is the power of Amalek. And the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Psochim, the Sefer Psochim Daf Nun, Bohoyo Hashem Lemelech Al Kol Oretz Bayom Ahu Yiyeh Hashem Echod Ushemai Echod, that Hashem will be a king over all of the land on that day. Hashem Echor Ushemai Echor, on that day his name will be one, he will be one, and his name will be one. So the Gemara says, Otor Himmelav Echotu, what does it mean on that day? He will be one and his name will be one, and now he is not one. So the Gemara says, yes, he is not one now. Omer Ravacha Bar Chanina, Leik Helem Azek Helem Abor. This world is not like the next world. In the next world there will be one, but not in this world. This world, this world, when something good happens to a person, we make a brocha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Ato Ma'ameti, who is good and who has done good for us. When something bad happens to a person, we make a bracha, Baruch Ashto Hashem, the Kingdom of Olam, Dayon Emes, who is the truthful judge. So this means that good things happen and bad things happen. Leilam Aboa Kula HaTevatot. But in the next world, we make only one bracha, only the bracha Atoba Meiti. Why? Because in this world, whatever happens to a person, if it comes from Hashem, is good. Except it's impossible for us to recognize the goodness. Therefore, sometimes we must make Atova Ameitim, and sometimes we must make Dayon Emes. But in the next world, it will be clear what took place, and therefore we will make only one bracha. So this is what it means that Hashem will be Echod in the next world, but not yet in this world. And what does it mean, Ushmai Echod, that his name will be one in the next world? Isn't his name one in this world? Omer Nachum Rav Yitzchok, Reka Elam Azek Elam Abo. This world is not the same as the next world. In this world, Hashem is written with a yud and a hey. The name is written with a letter yud and a letter hey, but it's not pronounced that way. It's pronounced with an aleph and a dalet. It's pronounced as Odin. We just refer to Hashem as the Lord, as the Master. But we do not pronounce His name the way it's written. In the next world, kula echod, nikra b'yud v'hei v'nichta b'yud v'hei. Next world, His name will be read just as it's written. And why is this? So the Gemara says, because it states, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Zesh Mil Olam, Zeh Zichri Lidor Vidor. This is my name forever, and this is how I shall be called. The Olam, which means forever, which refers to the world, is written Olam, Olam, Ilam, which means to be concealed. Kodesh Baruch Hu's name is concealed in this world. Therefore, it can be read properly only in the next world. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His name is concealed in this world. That's the power of this world. Where does that power come from? Where is one of the strongest sources of that? That's another. Parshas B'Shalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why will I have war with Amalek in every generation? Ki Yod Al Kes Kor, I raise my hand and I take an oath. Kes Kor, my throne, and there the throne of Hashem is not spelled fully. Instead of being spelled Kisei, it's spelled Kes. My throne is not complete. And Kor, and my name is not. As long as Amalek is in the world. Amalek destroys my essence. This is what I put in Moloch says. And therefore I shall always have war with him. If we go into this a little deeper, we will understand what does Amalek destroy. Amalek destroys the Malchus of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem. V'hoye b'yom ahu yiyah Hashem echod ishmo yechod. In that day HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the next world HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall be one. One means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rule everything. There will be nothing besides Him. And everything that happens can be related only to the Almighty. There can be no foreign or independent powers. Like the Chazal tell us, Ein Od Mulado. Every power in the world will be related to Him. The Rambam writes, HaKol Tluyim Bo, everything is dependent on Him, and He is dependent on no one. If everything will vanish, He will exist. If He is not here, nothing will exist. This is what it means, Hashem Achor. This is Malchus. This is kingship. Because the king is the one who rules over everyone. If the king does not rule over everyone, then over that area that he does not rule, he is no longer the king. This is the Malchus Hashem. And Amalek fights against this Malchus. Tries to destroy it. Tries to take it away. What is Malchus Israel? To be a king in Israel. To be a king in Israel is not like to be a king of other nations. King of other nations, everyone is subject to this individual. They all fear him. They all serve him. And he makes himself over everyone else. This is Malchei HaUma, is to be a king of nations. To be a king of Israel, this is a different story. Everyone must fear him. Tzom Tosim Olech HaMelech. We are obligated to place a king over us that we will fear. Shetei Mosri Alecha. Everyone fears him. Everyone serves him. Everyone is a subject. But he does not make himself over everyone else. In turn, he serves the Almighty. He fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is a subject to the King of all kings. So then what is the purpose of the kings of Israel? The purpose is to uplift all of the people to himself, and in turn bring the people to serve the Almighty. He is a channel in which to bring
their own rule into the land. It is the task of the King of Israel to bring the rule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the land, to sanctify Hashem's name. And the Medrash tells us afraid of the waters. And a voice came out and said, Mishim lichani alayam hu yim laichan Israel. He who has made me king over the sea, he shall reign over Israel. And here the seed of Yehuda was Zochel Malchus. What was the goal of Nachshon? His goal was not to reign over Israel. He exclaimed, Hashem Yimlach Le'alom V'ayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall reign over Israel. His goal was to bring the kingship of Hashem into Israel. The Gemara tells us further, Masech Tesoter, that we don't base. The Gemara says, Yosef kiddushim shemayim and Yehuda kiddushim shemayim. Yosef sanctified the name of Hashem and Yehuda sanctified the name of Hashem. Yosef sanctified the name of Hashem privately. And therefore his reward was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him one letter of his name. One letter of Hashem's name replaced into Yosef. Yehuda sanctified Hashem's name publicly. And his reward was that his entire name was made up of the letters of Hashem's name. Where is this? With the episode of the wife of Potiphar. Yosef was tempted. And he withstood his temptations. And he fled. This was Kiddush Shem Shamayim Betzina. Sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu's Torah and Kiddusha. Betzina. Privately. No one saw it. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu added a name of Yosef's name. In Tehillim. It states, Eidos. There Yosef is referred to as Yehosef. But his Baruch Hu took the A from his name and gave it to Yosef. Yehuda. His name is Yehuda. Yehuda's name is Hashem's name. The Gemara relates many times that a sofer that's writing a sefer, the disclosure of such information would be the desecration of the name of Israel before Hashem. The desecration of God's name. We see here that the Torah does not always think the way we think. But just the opposite. Medrash tells us that Abraham was there and Yitzchak was there and they were pleading by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either way, he has no way to turn. Because he said that. Not that he lose the Malchus, but the Medrash tells us he gained the Malchus. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you became the Shofet, you became the judge. For this Yesoma, for this orphan, I will make you a judge over the entire world. Lord Yosser, Shade of Yehuda, staff of judgment shall never be lost from Yehuda. And the Gemara is saying, because you were Mekadesh Shem Shomayim, the scandal that Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't worried about. He was more worried about the right and the wrong. And because you gave right judgment, an honorable judgment, this is Kiddushim Shomayim Kaddish. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, your name will be made up of all of my letters. Yosef was Kiddushim Shomayim Betzino. Yosef sanctified Hashem's name privately. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him one letter of his name, Yehosef. Yehuda that sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all of the letters. What does the name Yehuda mean? To praise. Because this was the ultimate praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One stands by the truth and stands by the Torah. This is an exclamation that there is a God in the world. So what do we see from these Gemaras? That it's the objects of the King of Israel to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to raise the nation up to himself, and then with the entire nation praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exclaim his Malchus, exclaim his Kingship. Bring Malchus Hashem into the world. Therefore Yehuda, the Gemara says in one place, because his descendant was the one who went into the sea and exclaimed the kingship of Hashem, that Hashem Yimloch Le'elom Va'er, Hashem will reign forever. Therefore he will be the one who will reign over Israel. Because Yehuda sanctified Hashem's name publicly, therefore he will be the one to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what we see from these Gemara. Accordingly, we can understand very well why the Torah therefore commands us that when we come into Eretz Yisrael and we are confronted with three mitzvahs, that of making a king for ourselves, that of destroying Amalek, and that of building Beis HaMikdash, they must come in this order. First to make a king, and then to destroy Amalek. Because if we look into this carefully, we will see that the charge of the king is just the exact opposite of the power of Amalek. Amalek comes to take the kingship from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the king of Israel's charge is to bring kingship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalek comes to destroy the name of Hashem. My name is not complete. And it's the king's charge to sanctify the name of Hashem. Amalek comes to take the letters out of Hashem's name in this world. Yod Alkeis Kor, Hashem said, my name is not complete. And through the act of the king of Israel, Hashem's name, all of his letters come into this world. The king is the essence of Yiras Hashem. Because the Torah says that you must place a king over you, you must fear him. He's not allowed to waive his fears, his honors. And Amalek is loyal to the king. Amalek does not fear Hashem. So when it comes to destroy the power of Amalek, this takes the power of Malchus power of a king. Therefore, it was not merely coincidental that Mordechai and Esther had to be from such background to be able to wage a successful war against Amalek, against Haman, who was Lahashmi, Lahare, as Kola Yehudim, who wanted to kill and destroy all of the Jews, Minar, Ve'azoke, Taf, Kenoshim, Yemechot, in one day. But they had to have this power. And from here we understand also, by the third of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, this comes only after the destruction of Amalek. Because the building of the Beis HaMikdash, this is the throne of Hashem. This is the manifestation of Hashem in this world. The Beis HaMikdash Shalmalem, Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a Beis HaMikdash in the upper world. Building of the Beis HaMikdash was Mishachanti B'Seichon to bring a Beis HaMikdash, a sanctuary in this world. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I cannot have a sanctuary in this world. As long as Amalek is here, I cannot have a sanctuary in this world. So therefore, first we must have a king who will have this Gevura, this strength to bring the kingship of Hashem into the world, to bring the name of Hashem into the world. Then he will be able to make war against Amalek, to destroy Amalek, which destroys the kingship of Hashem, which destroys the name of Hashem in this world. And then is Binyan Beis HaMikdash, then we can build the Beis HaMikdash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have a sanctuary here. Actually, if we go into this one step further, we'll find something even more revealing. And that is, where did Haman come from? Haman came from Agog. Haman and Agog. Agog was the king of Amalek. Therefore, the kingship will be taken away from you. Shaul said, "Chotos, I have sinned. Because I will not lay hikim as bar Hashem, I will not fulfill the word of the Shem. Ki yoreisi me'al'om, because I fear the nation. This is why I did this." We find by Dovid HaMelech, many times he said, we don't find that the kingship is taken away from him. And here Shaul did this one sin and lost the kingdom. The answer is, a king can commit many sins, but he can still be the king. But what is the essence of a king? The essence of a king is to bring the name of Hashem into the world and bring the nation to Hashem. Shaul did not uphold the word of Hashem. Why? Because I fear the nation. It states that Shaul and the nation had rachamim and Agog and on the sheep and the cattle. What does it mean, Shaul and the nation? What does the nation have to do with it? Shaul was the king. He was the leader. Shaul came down to the level of the nation. Not that he brought the nation up to him. The Torah said, "Shom tosim alecha melech, place a king over you." Over us. king. Not that the king must fear us. We fear the king, and the king fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we are uplifted to the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there is Kiddushen Shemayim. A king can do many avos, but he can still be king. But a king that does not fulfill the word of Hashem because he fears the nation, in essence, he is not a king. This is these battles, the complete destruction of a king. What does it mean, I did not fulfill Hashem's word, Ki Yareisi Me'a'am, because I feared the nation? What does it mean that Shaul and the nation had mercy on the sheep and the cattle? What does the nation have to do with it? Shaul was the king. Therefore, Shmuel said, before Hashem, he will take the kingship away from you. Amalek had survival. Why? Because there was no kingship. When Shaul feared the nation, that's when kingship ended. And from here came Haman. There was survival of Amalek in the world because there was no king in Israel. And from here came Amalek Atur. Mordechai and Esther were the descendants of Shaul. And evidently they were destined to rectify what their ancestor had caused. It's very interesting how we find Mordechai rectified it. The Megillah relates that Haman made himself for a king, for a god, for idolatry, and everyone would bow to him. Mordechai lo yichra v'le yishtachak. Mordechai would not bow, he would not bend his knee. And people told him, what's happening here? Haman is the viceroy. He'll bring the Jews into trouble. He'll tell the king, he's a dog, he's a wild person. This is what they were telling Mordechai. Mordechai lo yichra v'le yishtachak. Mordechai would not bow. I will not bow to any idolatry. This is the law and the Torah. And interestingly, the Targum writes, when Haman would confront Mordechai, they know each other, they knew each other from before. The Megillah says they fought in the same war at one time. Fought in the same army. So they knew each other. And when Haman would confront Mordechai and says, I demand that you bow to me. And if not, I will kill you and all of your people. So Mordechai answered, no. King Yomi was the only one that never bowed to his grandfather Israel, except with the grandfather of the mother. When Yaakov came back to meet Esau, for many years, all of the wives and all of the children went and they bowed to Esau. Yomi wasn't born yet. Yomin was the only one born in Eretz Yisrael after he came back to Eretz Yisrael. So Mordechai said, no, I come from Binyamin. Others might bow to you because their grandfathers bowed to your grandfather. But Anomi Binyamin Koasimo, I come from Binyamin. My grandfather never bowed to your grandfather. I will not bow to you. The Gemara tells us another interesting thing. The Beis Hamikdash was built in the territory of Binyamin. In the bracha from Yaakov and Amasha, it states that Binyamin is the Adib. He is the beloved one. Shechin ben Sefer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell by his shoulders. The Beis HaMikdash was built in his territory. The Gemara asks, why was it built in his territory? Because he was the only one who didn't bow to Esau. Beis HaMikdash, that's where the Malchus Hashem comes into the world. And it comes into the world through Binyamin, who stood up against Esau. And here it was being manifested through his seed of Mordechai and Esther. Shaul was your Asim in Aam. I fear the nation. And he fell from the level of being a king. So therefore, Amalek manifested itself. Mordechai did not fear the nation. He feared no one. Lo yichre ve le yishtachaveh. He would not bow, he would not move. He became a king. And therefore, Amalek was destroyed. Haman became destroyed. So we see that what was left over by his ancestor, this Mordechai and Esther destroyed. Chazal tell us that this power of Amalek is a power which is in the world. Power to completely destroy the fear of Hashem. And this is a power in every individual. It's a teach hara, an evil power in the world. And even though one can purify himself, he purify himself from having jealousy in his heart. He'll purify himself from having great desire in his heart. Chemdo, from Kino, can purify himself from having great ambition, over ambition in the world. But still, what might remain in his heart is the power of Amalek. And that is the denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship in the world. It's for him right. What does that mean? That means the distinction between Tov v'Ra, good and evil. When we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we know what is, there is good and evil. We know we will be called to task. There are definite lines. When we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then this is alright and this is alright. There's not that much distinction. There's not that much good about good, and there's not that much bad about bad. Tool that was used by Mordechai and Esther was that of tefillah and zerokah, of prayer, of appealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of fasts. This is the major tool that was used in the Megillah. When a person is mispalo to Hashem, he is bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world as king. When he prays to Hashem, he is relating everything to Hashem. For example, if someone is sick, if he prays to Hashem, so he relates the sickness and the possible cure to Hashem. If he doesn't pray to Hashem, this means that it's impossible to cure the person, or it has nothing to do with Hashem. Mordechai and Esther went deep into their hearts. They were mispalo to Hashem. Esther fasted for 3 days and three nights. And they came to such level of purity that Tilbash Bigdei Malchus, that she put on royal garments, garments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chazal tell us, she came to such heights of purity where in the greatest darkness of the Golus, in the house of Ahasuerus, in Shushan Habira, in the Hester Ponim, in the great concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There they saw and they reached Hashem. By doing that, they come to Amalek. Because it is not Amalek, but his power. His power is to conceal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they came to that Madrego, then Haman fell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded with great miracles. And when the sages saw what miracle this was and all of its ramifications, and when Esther saw this, she went to the Sanhedrin and she requested that the Megillah should become a mitzvah every year and should never be forgotten. They'll tell us that there are other Yantavim that might become Nizal, but not more. This will be forever. And she saw the ramifications of this victory. When a Jew has the power in the darkest parts of the exile, Aster in the most concealed areas where HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be seen, in the greatest tumah and impurities, there the Jew still has the power. The power that came from Binyamin, from Yosef, from Rachel, to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he reaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he is lifting the whole world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the power of Amalek dissipates. Then the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it to this world. And when she requested this from the sages, they agreed with her. And they said, therefore, Purim should be a yantif every year by the Jews. May we be zeicher to a simchas Purim, and may we be zeicher to see speedily in our days all of our tzoros and all of the problems and the exiles done away with, and see the coming of the Mashiach in the of Yamin.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.